Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Pastor Choga, how are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well.
Thank you. And thank you so much for joining us. I mean, it's been a fantastic week, I must say. It's been a lovely, lovely, lovely week. And thank you so, so much for taking time out to speak to us, our listeners. And, you know, we're talking about the Sabbath, and it is actually upcoming in the next couple of weeks. Now, in the next couple of hours, how could I say? Now, throughout this week, we've traced the Sabbath from the Garden of Eden, throughout the ministry of Christ, and into the prophetic landscape of the last days. And so today we look specifically at the role of the remnant church in proclaiming this neglected truth. Now, in Revelation 12, the remnant is identified as those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We want to discuss the ultimate restoration of the Sabbath in the new earth and how we view the Sabbath as a message of hope and preparation for the coming of the Messiah. Now, Pastor, Revelation 12:17 identifies the remnant church as keeping the commandments of God. How does the fourth commandment fit into this prophetic identity?
Okay. The fourth commandment becomes very, very important because that's the one that has been fought against mostly in Christendom. So while the remnant keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, but really the focus of the attack of the devil against the commandments of God, while he fights all these other commandments, it seems like he is mostly targeting the fourth commandment. So it becomes like maybe the last, what should we call it? This is the last barrier, the last brigade, the final, you know, standpoint of those who are loyal or who choose to remain loyal to God. So this is what gives the Sabbath a significance. Because if you look at Christendom today, most of the commandments, people will generally be okay with them, although even all those commandments are being fought. But when it comes to the Sabbath, this one has been mostly opposed. So it then brings the idea of loyalty to God and His commandments to the fore more than any other of the Ten Commandments. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, why has the Sabbath, Seventh-day Adventist Church been fiercely opposed by secular and, I would say, religious powers throughout history?
Look, if I was the devil, and do not make a mistake, I don't wish to be the devil. I'm saying this for illustrative purposes.
Yes, yes, yes.
If I was the devil, my strategy would, because remember what we say during the week, the devil would like to be worshipped. And the thing that makes us know why we worship God is the Sabbath, because we worship Him because He's created us. The Bible says He's worthy to be worshipped because He created. So I would go right to the heart of the reason why we worship God, and I would fight against it. So this is why the devil really wants to challenge and focus on the Sabbath, because it destroys the real reason why we worship God and the distinction that exists between God and all the other things that claim authority in our lives.
Mm. Now, how does the Sabbath then act as a time anchor, as it were, to protect believers from the deception of the last days?
I like the question, because the question really speaks to our generation, a generation that is distracted by social media, a generation that is almost living life on autopilot. You know, the Sabbath is like a recalibration. It gives you an opportunity to pause, to realign your identity, to realign your priorities, to realign the values in your life, what is most important. So it's like Sabbath brings us back to really who we are, so that we can focus and we're not just flowing with the flow of things, of the things that are happening around us. So yes, definitely the Sabbath becomes a time anchor for every Christian.
It definitely becomes then the time anchor for all those who are Christian. Now, let's go to Isaiah What does he say when? What does he mean rather when he prophesies about the restoration of the Sabbath in the new earth? That is chapter 66:23.
So basically, Isaiah is saying the Sabbath doesn't belong to Israel's past, but actually the Sabbath belongs to humanity's future.
Hmm.
Because this is now about everyone. When he says when things are made new in heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth, from one Sabbath to the other, people will worship before God, which means the worship that was established at creation is going to continue in the new creation in heaven.
Yeah. And then how does it then, the Sabbath message, as it were, how does it serve not just as a doctrine, but also as an evangelistic tool to reach a stressed, weary and post-Christian world?
You know, I think I mentioned it before when we were discussing the other question on how the Sabbath works as a time anchor. Our generation needs the Sabbath. The Sabbath is like Jesus' invitation in Matthew chapter 11 that says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Our generation needs that rest. So the Sabbath actually can become a beautiful thing to invite people in our generation, people who are stressed, people who are suffering from performance anxiety, you know, performance anxiety to say, I've not been able to reach the level that is expected, for them to be invited to say, no, rest not only in what you have accomplished, but rest in what God has done for you. And the generation in which, you know, status is everything, for them to know that, no, my life does not depend on me and what I do. My life depends on God because God is my creator.
Mm.
And you remember something else I want to bring in that we discussed during the week? The Sabbath also points to our redemption, to say the value that we now have does not only come from what we accomplish, but it comes from what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross, as if Him being our creator was not enough. He also died to redeem us. So the Sabbath gives that assurance and that reorientation so that we can rest and not be anxious and accept that God is our lives are in the hands of God.
Mm. Now, and you know the post-Christian world, before I go to the next, the post-Christian world actually says that we are spiritual beings.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not religious beings. And I mean, the post-Christian era says that, you know, what is important is your spirituality. But that's what is important if you are spiritual. Religion basically puts a lot of unnecessary rules. And yet you are free if you are spiritual. What do we say to this?
I hear where they are coming from. I hear this reaction against organized religion, because yes, sometimes we've made the rules the thing and missed the relationship. We've missed the connection with God.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Sometimes that has created this backlash.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't just speak against you know, what the post-modern, the post-Christian era is saying, because part of it has been contributed to by wrong religion. I believe that wrong religion is worse than no religion at all,
yeah,
because it gives the wrong picture to the world. And yet, when we talk about the Sabbath, let's not see it as just rules or a burden, but we can actually see the Sabbath as an opportunity, as an invitation to come and rest. And that would, I think, be able to speak and reach out even to the postmodern mind. And I want to even bring this idea that is coming up these days, where people are saying, you know, to break every 7 days from the cycle of things actually helps you to not develop habits that are detrimental to your life. Because they're saying, if you take yourself away from something once a week, that thing will not have a hold on your life, because that time that you spent away from it, it's like you are refreshing. You've pressed the reset button. Mm. So it actually becomes a cycle that even sets us free from the addictions of today. Imagine if I could break away from social media for 24 hours in a day, because I'm focusing on God and my relationship with Him. How much would that recalibrate and make sure my life is not held by things, but I'm in charge and in control of everything that I do in my life?
Mm. Yeah, beautiful indeed. Now, for listeners who may be observing the Sabbath for the first time, what encouragement can you offer regarding the blessings of the holy day, the Sabbath?
I love the question. For us to also think about those who are just getting into this thing.
Yeah,
I'd like to say, do not take the Sabbath as an exam. Take it as an invitation.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
If you take it in as an exam, it's already a burden, because you're trying to say, so what am I going to do? What did I do right? What did I do wrong? No, think and connect to Jesus Christ, who is inviting you to say, come and find rest in me. Mm. Realize what I've done for you. Let's think about it as time that we spend with God. And then the other necessary things to say, how do we keep the Sabbath? What should be done? What should not be done? It will come naturally as we grow and learn more.
Now, lastly, before we let you go, we look forward to the return of Christ. I mean, we've been waiting. How can the Sabbath serve as our life, as our ultimate preparation for meeting Him in peace?
I've actually said this to my congregants. The Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, is actually a great preparation for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Imagine that we have to prepare for the Sabbath, and we prepare for it knowing that it comes on Friday sunset. Mm. And I've always challenged them and said, if you cannot be ready for the Sabbath that you know is coming on Friday sunset, how sure are you that you're going to be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ, whom you don't know when He is going to be coming? You know, every Sabbath we can be ready, prepare ourselves, anticipate and be excited to enter into this, you know, time that we spend with God. And this is a foreshadowing, a foretaste of actually the second coming of Jesus Christ when He comes to take us. So that in its own, the preparation for the Sabbath, can actually be a way of teaching us that we should be ready for Jesus' second coming. The second thing I want to say is, remember we talked about reorientation and recalibration, something that is an anchor and a reminder. We cannot forget about God when we spend 24 hours every day relating to Him, thinking about Him, developing our relationship with Him and connecting with Him, which means daily we are anchored, we are reoriented, we are reconnected to God. That can actually become a very powerful way of making sure that we won't be carried away by the storms of life, by the excitement of life, but we will actually be ready for the coming, because we are reminded every week of the God who created us.
Mm. Beautiful stuff. Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through and also for spending this week with us. I truly, truly appreciate it. Blessings to you and, of course, with your family. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much and goodbye.
Goodbye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.